Well, hello and welcome to Binge Watch, the podcast where we take a look at the hottest new TV and film releases on streaming television platforms. I'm Hannah Fernando, the group editor of Woman and Woman and Home magazine.
And I'm Ian McEwan, writer on TV Times, TV Satellite Week and What's on TV magazines. And today we're looking at the new releases that will be available on Friday the 5th of April 2024, including Colin Farrell as an enigmatic LA private eye in the Apple TV drama Sugar, and Rufus Sewell and Gillian Anderson starring in Netflix drama Scoop about Prince Andrew's car crash TV interview with Emily Maitlis.
And we'll also be checking out the return of Ramesh Ranganathan's Avoidance on iPlayer and Andrew Scott playing a con artist in Ripley on Netflix. But first, Ian, what is in the news?
Jason Bateman of Ozark, of course, and Jude Law, interesting connection to this week's pod, by the way, will star in the Netflix drama Black Rabbit about the owner of a popular New York City venue whose brother resurfaces and causes problems. What else is in the news, Hannah?
Well, also on Netflix, in festive animation That Christmas, adapted by Richard Curtis from his children's books, Brian Cox will lend his voice to Santa Claus, brilliant, alongside Fiona Shaw, Jodie Whittaker and Bill Nighy.
Pretty decent selection this week. We're going to start on Netflix. This is a new drama series, Ripley, which arrives on Thursday the 4th of April. And here's a clip.
What line of work are you in, Tom?
Accounting.
You're a very hard man to find.
He came to Italy, moved into Dickie's house. He just wouldn't go away.
You like art, Tom? You're in the right place.
8 episodes in this one. A lot of people will be familiar with the film The Talented Mr. Ripley, which starred Matt Damon, Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow. That came out in 1999. And was very, very good, and is based on a Patricia Highsmith book. So this is a series based on the same story, starring the brilliant Andrew Scott, who shone in various things, including Sherlock as Moriarty, and he played the hot priest in Fleabag, didn't he? He's been in the cinemas recently. So now he is playing Tom Ripley, who is a con artist, basically. And this, I've got to say, is really, really good. It's adapted by the guy who wrote the script for Schindler's List, the Spielberg film. And it's shot in black and white, and it looks absolutely stunning. We're in 1960s New York, and it goes into a lot more detail about Ripley's life before he gets involved with this family, the Greenleaf family. So he's kind of scraping by as a grifter, trying to con people out of money. He's living in this horrible kind of flop house. And because he's a bit older as well, I think it's a bit more poignant. His life is going absolutely nowhere. He didn't really seem to have any friends. And then he is contacted by this rich businessman, and people will remember the story that he asks, because Tom Ripley was at school with his son Dickie, played by the brilliant Johnny Flynn, he wants him to travel to Italy, where his son is sort of living the high life, to try and persuade him to come home. All of episode one is to do with Ripley's backstory and then the meeting with the dad. So we're not going to get into the European trip till episode two, but it looks amazing. Scott is fantastic as Tom Ripley because he's very kind of cautious and kind of canny and hard to read. And you sort of see him practicing in the mirror, kind of smiling and being charming. And this opportunity just falls in his lap, which will end up being life-changing. So I really liked the film. I thought it was superb. But in that, you just saw Ripley turning up at a wedding, I think, to play the piano, and then immediately the whole storyline about the trip to Italy kicks off. This gives you a lot more backstory very effectively, and I think, dare I say it, I actually think this is better than the film, though one doesn't have to be better than the other, does it? They're very different, but it's really, really good. What did you think, Hannah?
It is really good because it's filmed in black and white, isn't it? And I'm not always a massive fan of that. I don't know why. It kind of, to me, it always seems a bit more hard going. But I think you're right. The fact that it's done in kind of episodes as opposed to a whole film makes it just that much better because there's so much to take in. And, you know, at times kind of some, I suppose, difficult viewing, but kind of it's quite hard at times. So I to me, it kind of broke that up. So from what I've seen so far, it's one that I will stick with for sure. And, you know, it has all the makings of something brilliant. You know, when you think of who the screenwriter is and, you know, everybody involved in this, it's a massive production.
Also on Netflix and arriving on Friday the 5th of April, we have an eagerly anticipated new drama called Scoop. And here is a clip.
Your Royal Highness. Tomorrow night, in an unprecedented interview, we will hear from the Duke himself.
You know, I thought that all went very well.
All across the world, every paper, on every news channel, this is the story.
Go away!
This is only going to get bigger.
This interview, does it matter?
Yeah, it matters.
You're quite right. It is really eagerly awaited, isn't it? There's been a massive setup for this, which is always, I would imagine, as a if you're the production crew or the director or actually anybody working on this, it kind of makes you really nervous because there's this huge build-up and can anything ever live up to it? Because, of course, we've all got our own memory of what happened on that fateful day that the BBC Two Newsnight interview aired with Prince Andrew. And this is reimagining that, you know, exactly that piece of work, but also gives the kind of run up to it. So great cast here. We've got Rufus Sewell playing Prince Andrew. We've got Gillian Anderson, who I'm a huge fan of. She plays Emily Maitlis. And then you've also got Billy Piper as well. Now, Billy Piper plays the Newsnight producer Sam McAllister, and I think that, well, I certainly felt that which is probably silly in our business, we know that there's lots of people that makes things work and it's a team of people, but actually Sam McAllister was the person that played a huge part in actually getting this interview to even happen. So this sees it right through from how that interview was kind of secured right through to the filming of it. And it's based on McAllister's book Scoop, so you know it's the behind the scenes, and it's really interesting from what I've seen of it so far. I find it really interesting because very, very quickly, and I say this a lot when I talk about other things and I include The Crown in this, is that when people look so similar to the real people, it's really, really hard to tell fact from fiction, isn't it? And you're completely brought in because they suddenly look and go like it. And Emily Maitlis, as I say, played by Gillian Anderson. Gillian Anderson, I don't know what it is with her. She just kind of manages to become exactly like that person. I think from reading interviews with her, she spends quite a lot of time really looking at that person and the way they move and, you know, their kind of characteristics and what have you. And that's exactly what she seems to have done here, because it's so, she just becomes Emily Maitlis. And it's as awkward and as difficult as it was the first time around. I did think there were a couple of hammy bits in there. I did think there was a couple of times I thought, oh God, is this really what happened? But perhaps that is exactly what happened, because as I say, it is based on Sam McAllister's book, which was all about behind the scenes. It's as uncomfortable, as I say, as the first time round as watching it, as it was from the sort of comments about not being able to sweat in the Woking Pizza Express, right through to a number of other kind of random and bizarre things that Prince Andrew said and probably wishes he never did. But it, for me, it was good. I think it's, as I say, there are places where I thought, I don't know if this is totally credible, but I was totally brought in the way that these people managed to portray the people that they were playing. And for that, I thought it was absolutely great. What did you think, Ian?
Well, Netflix limited us to clips of this because for whatever reason they haven't dropped a preview before transmission. There's actually another drama coming up, a BBC drama about the same thing and starring Michael Sheen as Prince Andrew and Ruth Wilson as Emily Maitlis. And I believe that Emily Maitlis has been, unsurprisingly because she's BBC employee, has been more connected with that one. So we look forward to seeing that. But this, yeah, it's a big story, isn't it? I have to say, they've done a great job making Rufus Sewell look like Prince Andrew. Yeah. I mean, he looks amazing. It's such a mind-boggling thing that happened, this dreadful interview with the sweating and the Pizza Express and the comments he made about Epstein that was so ill-judged. And Maitlis handled it beautifully. You do want to know, like, what was Prince Andrew thinking? What were his team thinking when they set this up and thought it was a good idea? You know, so it's fascinating from that point of view. It's got the whole car crash element. Of course, anything about the royals and scandal, people are going to lap it up, aren't they? And as you say, I mean, what a cast. As well as the actors you mentioned, well, you've also got Keely Hawes playing the Prince's private secretary. And you've got Romola Garai as the Newsnight editor. So, irrespective, I mean, I will certainly be watching it when it goes out. I can't wait to see it. And it'll be interesting to see how similar or different the BBC take on it is when that comes out. We move across to Apple TV Plus for a new drama series called Sugar. And here is the clip.
John Sugar.
And the sky is gray.
I'm a private investigator.
They told me that you do one thing and one thing only. You find the missing.
His granddaughter. She's missing.
Sugar, I don't like this case for you.
So this arrives again on Friday, the 5th of April. Lots of good new stuff. And as it's Apple TV Plus, you're going to get your first two episodes, and then it will be released weekly. So it stars the fabulous Colin Farrell, and he is playing a private eye called John Sugar, and a Los Angeles private eye. And you remember in Blackadder Goes Forth, there was Captain Darling, and whenever anyone just said Darling, it always got a laugh. Well, in this, people keep calling Farrell's character Sugar, and it's like a bit of a double take. Anyway, that's nothing to do with the series, really. It's very kind of noirish, film noirish, very consciously so. I was kind of in two minds about this. So the storyline is a film producer played by James Cromwell, who, funnily enough, was in another very noirish LA crime drama, LA Confidential, which was superb. So he plays this film producer who hires Sugar to find his granddaughter, Olivia, who is missing. Okay, so that's quite a familiar trope, isn't it? Like private eye hired to find a missing woman. They've gone out of their way to make Sugar very quirky, you know. And I think Farrell is great in the role, and it looks terrific. But he's really obsessed with cinema, classic cinema. So you get a lot of clips of old sort of film noir. He's got a Corvette. He loves his Corvette. So he's got a signature car. He really likes his smart suits. He actually looks a bit like Connery as Bond in this, I must say. And all that's fine, but there's more. He also speaks Japanese and Arabic. And get this, he has a strange metabolism, which means he never gets drunk. Okay. He's having these weird flashbacks, and he's got some kind of medical issue, which we do see him injecting himself, which I assume is, you know, he's got some kind of problem. I kind of think they've thrown too much at the character, I have to say. And I do feel that, I mean, not that he's a particularly world-weary character. He's actually quite a gentle and kind, considering the job he does, which is quite violent. I don't know, that whole gumshoe thing with the voiceover, you know, it's I kind of feel it's been a bit done to death, and I've seen it done better. But I really like Farrell in this, and I also particularly like Amy Ryan plays this woman called Melanie, who was Olivia's stepmother at one time and was formerly in a punk band. So they meet in a bar and she's really drunk and she plays that really nicely. And I thought, where do I recognize her from? And of course, she played Mike Scott's girlfriend Holly in The American Office and was very, very funny in that. So she's particularly good at this. And they sort of recognize in each other something a bit broken. A lot about it I liked, but the noir elements I felt perhaps a bit overdone, and I just felt the character was just way too quirky. You know, it's just for me it wasn't really believable. But anyway, yeah, there were things I liked. What did you think, Hannah?
It's a bit weird, isn't it? I mean, I found it a bit odd because Colin Farrell, as you say, is really very good, and I like Colin Farrell very much. Not just Easy on the Eye, but he's great in everything he does, I think, or usually. So I was kind of quite looking forward to this, but I think you're absolutely right. I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, there's just too much thrown at this character. I mean, the languages that he can speak, and he's not without his own issues, whether it's his health or, you know, professionally, he doesn't like guns. He's very chivalrous and he's in quite a difficult and dangerous job. But yeah, that doesn't really match with the kind of character that they've, you know, built around him. And, you know, I think this quote that he said kind of sums it up. He says, as much as he swims in waters of the darkest recesses of human behaviour, he also loves the beauty that human beings can create. I mean, I just think that sums up just quite how bizarre this whole thing is, really, because it is just a strange kind of, I suppose they're trying to make him kind of have lots of layers and be really interesting. And I suppose, again, to touch on your point, we've been here, done that, got the T-shirt to make it that little bit more different, I suppose. But I don't know that it really hit. I'm not sure that it hits the right notes for me. And it's a shame because I think it has had all the potential of doing that. But it's just a little bit too complex for my liking and unnecessarily complicated in places.
We're going to finish on BBC One and BBC iPlayer with a comedy that's returning on Friday, the 5th of April. It's called Avoidance, and here's a clip.
Right, Jonathan, I'm going to say this one final time. It is over.
We're here for you.
We're not.
You must realise how impossible you are to live with.
I'm not that bad.
They get your order on pretty much every day.
I know, that's exactly why I can't tell them. It's then they'll know I've never mentioned it.
How about you come up with a solution to the problem that was completely your doing?
Okay, and what if I absolutely don't want to do that?
Yep, as you say, another outing for Avoidance and Ramesh Ranganathan. How does he have any time? He seems to be on every single channel doing something. I don't know when he gets to film or when he's with his family. He's always working. But yet, he's back as Jonathan, and he's reinvented himself completely. So for anyone who will have watched this previously will know that Jonathan, played by Ramesh, had at the end of the last series had turned down the chance to get back with his ex Claire, played by Jessica Knappett, and who's also the mother of his son Spencer. And he's already regretting that. You know, we are a year on, but he absolutely regrets that. And this is kind of about him trying to win her back in lots of kind of embarrassing ways, but he looks better, he's got new hobbies, you know. There is a lot of lycra involved, which will give a few laughs. But he's a very awkward sort of character. Ramesh kind of plays, every part that he plays is like this. He's quite similar. And he's kind of a bit awkward and uncomfortable in scenarios. He doesn't like any conflict. And that gets him into trouble as well, because he's not very direct about things. It's really quite funny. But I find Ramesh funny, so I think it's got really quite good comic timing, where things are said and there's lots of bits that you can relate to, and the child gets embarrassed. In fact, his own child has a cameo at one point too. But I suppose what we're seeing here is them being able to explore new relationships, because him perhaps meeting someone, or his ex, Claire, meeting someone else, and how he deals with her meeting someone else. And the reason behind him not going back in the last series was because he felt that they were better parenting the child apart than together. And of course, he now massively regrets that. And you'll see some funny behaviour as he tries, or I should say embarrassing behaviour, as he tries to win her back. So this is just, this is what Romesh does well. It's just really, it's just good fun. We'll give you a good laugh and a few relatable bits and pieces in there to boot. What do you think, Ian?
I liked it, and I hadn't seen series one, so probably worth taking a look at that on iPlayer if you didn't catch it. But yeah, really pleasantly surprised by how good Romesh is as an actor, because it's not a purely comedic role. This is more of a, I guess, kind of more of a comedy drama in a way. And there've been a lot of these sort of bittersweet comedies that recently that are very funny, but also there's a sort of quite a sad note as well. And there certainly is with Jonathan, who's kind of a, what you might call a beta male. He really can't kind of take ownership of his own life, you know, and he's always being kind of pushed along by his sister and her wife. And yeah, as you say, as we rejoin, there's potential new love interest. So yeah, his ex is going out with Brett now, played by Matthew Lewis. And I like the fact that often when the new love interest comes in, they're often sort of portrayed as a bit of a baddie in a way, aren't they? But not in this case. He seems like quite a nice bloke. Whereas for Jonathan, well, hello, Aisling B is expressing an interest playing this character, Megan. So, yeah, I think it's really nice. It's quite low-key. And I love episode one because there's a sort of school PTA sort of fundraiser, and I won't spoil it, but Jonathan plans this kind of this big display of his sort of emotions that goes badly wrong, but it's very funny. I enjoyed it, and I will actually go back and have a look at season one on iPlayer. Now, we've got to that time, Hannah, where you tell us, well, of course, it's been the Easter break, so what have you been binge-watching?
Well, of course, no Easter break would be, it will be next year, it'll be all changed. Saturday Night Takeaway, of course, I told you every single week I'm going to be saying the same thing. But I also watched, because there's lots of lovely films on, I watched The Famous Five, which was really quite lovely. And also on Netflix, I've been watching Never Have I Ever.
I re-watched This Town because it's actually started on the Beeb now, though I've watched quite a few episodes in advance. That's getting sort of mixed reaction, I would say, from the critics. So I'll be interested to see what you think of it, Hannah, when you've taken a look. And of course, MasterChef is back. I think it's a big anniversary for MasterChef, isn't it? But yeah, it's back, and you know, we love MasterChef whenever that's on. Now, we've just got time to look ahead to next week's offerings. So what are we going to be talking about, Hannah?
Well, Lucy Boynton plays a bereaved music fan in romantic time travel drama The Greatest Hits on Disney Plus.
And Michael Douglas plays Benjamin Franklin in a new Apple TV drama about the statesman's fight for American independence. So we look forward to those and much, much more. But in the meantime, listeners,
watch it!